So as Pastor Zach said, chapter 5 of Matthew, it's Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. It's his first preaching tour, and he begins with eight statements about happiness called the Beatitudes. They begin with blessed are, which means happy are, fortunate are. Each of these are a principle that you can apply to your life, that you can actually be more blessed, be more happy. And if you think about all of the things that Jesus could have taught, he decides to start his preaching tour with how to be happy. And why is that? Because everybody is searching for it, and few people find it. I Googled in the last couple of weeks how to be happy, and I found lots of different things. I had, 40 or 60 pages worth of information. Let me just share with you a couple of things. This is called Neuroscience Discovers 5 Things That Are Going to Make You Happy. Alex Korb is a postdoctoral researcher, so he already has a doctorate. Now he's doing postdoctoral work in neuroscience at UCLA. And this is how neuroscience brings happiness. Listen to music from the happiest time in your life. And then he writes, let's hope you had good taste when it was the happiest. Smile and wear sunglasses. And he writes, don't wear them indoors, that's dumb. Think about your goals. It changes how you see the world, and it releases happy chemicals in your noggin. Get your sleep. Depressed people don't sleep well, and people who don't sleep well get depressed. That takes a doctorate. Beat procrastinating by reducing stress and do simple things to get started. Listen to those happy era tunes and then assemble all the materials you need and get cranking. And what's the number one thing that Alex says will start an upward spiral of happiness? He writes this, it's dead simple. Go for a walk outside every morning, preferably with a friend. I'm like, okay. But now here's Gretchen Rubin. I've spent 10 years studying what makes us happy in life. While writing my book, Life in 5 Senses, I discovered that our senses help us to live longer and spark happiness in our lives. I tested the wisdom of the ages with scientific research, and here are my findings. Need a burst of energy or cheer? Use your sense of smell. Indulge in beautiful smells by taking a deep whiff of a clean towel at home or a fine wood at a hardware store. I'm thinking pizza or barbecue. Stressed out? Use your sense of touch. Fidget spinners and therapy dough can help make you feel calmer. I don't disagree with that. It says, when I'm in a situation that makes me anxious, like being backstage before giving a big talk, I hold a pin. Okay. Feeling distracted and unproductive, use your sense of sound. I have found that the more I can control my surroundings, the less bothered I am by noises. Just as you periodically do sweeps of your home to clear clutter, you can clear chatter too. Cut down spam calls. Register your phone with the Do Not Call registry. I'm not making this up. This is how you can be happy. She has studied for 10 years. Need a creative spark? Use your sense of sight. When I need inspiration, I try to spot the small details. The more I look, the stronger the habit grows. I find more beauty in the surprising orange tweed of a woman's coat, in a flock of birds wheeling overhead. I also found it more whimsy. Want to feel closer to other people? Enjoy unique foods and flavors with other people. Use your sense of taste. I threw a taste party. My friends and I brought various kinds of apples, chocolate, and chips. We tasted ketchup to detect the 5 basic tastes of sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and umami. You know what that is? Umami? Umami. Yeah. Umami, umami. Yeah, I had to Google it. I'm like, what is that? But this makes it all right. We weren't just socializing, we were sharing a sensory experience. Our conversation felt unusually warm and intimate. We're talking about ketchup. My exploration of the five senses has transformed my life. Every day I tap into their power and to connect me to ordinary moments that I want to experience and remember. And I'll never take ketchup for granted again. Again, this is research on how to be happy. The question was asked, what will make you happy? Asked to 52,000 Americans. The answers were reported in Psychology Today. Here's the answers. A friend, social life, a job, love, reconnection and success, sex, good financial situation, being attractive, recreation and exercise. And I didn't even read you the other 39 pages of what it looks like to be happy. But the bottom line that I've seen in all of this, it's external circumstances. If I had this, I'd be this. If I did this, I'd have this. If this happened, I would be happy. Most of it's focusing on the outward and not the inside. According to these studies that I found and multiple other studies, if you can line up the right circumstances, you'll be happy. Okay, for 30 seconds or less, remember King Solomon? Did he not search for happiness? He accumulated things. He had every pleasure you could imagine. He achieved more success than anybody in his day. And remember the words that he used over and over again. Meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So Jesus, on his first preaching tour, says, all right, everybody's looking for it. So many people can't find it. Let's talk about attitudes that are going to promote happiness. So eight statements that Jesus makes in the Beatitudes that I guarantee you can help you. And this is called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus gave this on a hillside near Capernaum. And this sermon probably took, when he went through this, probably took a couple of days. And basically what Jesus is trying to tell people who want to follow him is this. You can experience hope, you can experience help, you can experience joy and happiness in spite of your circumstances. And when you read the Beatitudes, it at times almost seems like a contradiction. They all begin with the word blessed or the old English word. It simply means happy. Happy are you if you're poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the merciful, because they'll be shown mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy are peacemakers, because they will be called the sons of God. Happy are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for their sakes is the kingdom of God. When you read this, it seems a little bit like a contradiction. Happy if you're sad. Okay. Happy if you're poor. Oh, that's great. Happy if you're being persecuted. Okay. Happy if you're hungry. Try ketchup. And, you know, Jesus is saying you can be happy in spite of your circumstances. If you want everything to be correct in your life, if you want all of the things to line up in your life, and then you're going to be happy, here's the bottom line. You're never going to be happy. it's just not going to happen. Jesus says, I want to teach you happiness, and I want you to realize it's not determined on what's going on the outside. It's determined by what's going on inside. Did you catch that? Happiness is not everything going around you that's perfect. I mean, where do they call the happiest place on earth? Disneyland. Guess what happens when you leave Disneyland? You're no longer happy, right? Happiness depends on happenstance. You're no longer happy. And Jesus is saying, hey, it's not about just what's going on outside here. It's way more about what's going on inside. Life is tough at times for every one of us. And there are a lot of things that don't go right. We don't have control over a lot of things, but we do have control, or we can have control over our own attitudes. Let's just take a couple of moments and look at the first statement of these eight today. Matthew 5, verse 3 says this, "Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Like, what do you mean poor in spirit? Should I, like, not have a good self-esteem or walk around like, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Been connected to my five senses, been focusing on ketchup. I mean, the reality is that God wants you to have good self-esteem. Jesus actually died for you. That's how valuable you are. But what does it mean to be poor in spirit? It simply means this: to humbly depend on God. And that's not as easy to do as it is to say it. He's talking about admitting, I don't have it all together all the time, and I need God. The opposite of being poor in spirit is arrogant and egotistical. And Jesus said, if you're full of arrogance and your ego's too big, you're never going to be happy. One translation puts it like this: happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Happy are you and me when we realize we don't have it together all the time, when we realize that God doesn't even expect us to have it together all the time, and we need to look to Him for strength. We need to look to Him for help. We need to look to Him for hope in spite of what is going on. The point Jesus makes is this: if you want to be happy, then you need to think about being humble. And when you're humble, it's like the twin, it's like the soulmate of happiness. If you want lasting happiness, you need to live in humility. Well, okay, how do I live in humility? I remember I had a friend, he was so funny. He really wanted to be humble. So bad, great guy. He was the elder of a church couple when I served in another state. And he wouldn't even say humble. He would say, because if you said humble, it wasn't as humble as if you said humble. So he's like, I just want to be humble. You mean humble? No, even a step below that, humble. You look in the mirror today and you say, I want to be humble. At work tomorrow, what'd you learn in church? Don't bother me, I'm being humble. What? But this was a great guy and he actually was humble. But what does it mean? How can humility actually increase your satisfaction in life? Here's one of the ways. Humility reduces stress. When I realize I am not in charge of the universe and I don't have control over everything in the universe. And I quit trying to be the CEO of my own life and say, God, there's things that I just have to let go. And I begin to pray instead of living in panic. That'll change your life. I mean, if you were to ask this question right now, do I panic more than I pray? It's not a bad question. It just means we need to realize, hey, I don't have to solve all the problems. And the other thing is, when I'm humble, I don't have to fake it. How about that? I don't have to pretend, even though I'm a Christian, that I have it all together all the time. Whoa. Humility accepts the fact that you can depend on God and you can trust Him in spite of circumstances. And how many of us have gotten to, so to speak, the end of our rope? And when we finally reached out and got serious with God, things changed. How about if we would have humbled ourselves and said, God, I need you so much. How about if we started with, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. This is like beyond me. I love this. Blessed are those who are spiritually poor, because we know we need God. Another thing is this. Humility actually improves relationships. How many of you like being around a selfish, self-centered, egotistical person? Well, we don't need to have a confession right here, right now. But I'm just being honest, Pastor. You know, I'm not hiding it. I got you. We're good. But I mean, here's the thing. Nobody likes that. Selfish people wreck relationships. And selfish people many times are unhappy people, and unhappy people like to make other people unhappy. It's so true. I love it when I'm around people who are humble enough to think highly of themselves, but also think highly of other people. It wasn't very long ago that we were doing something here one evening, and I walked out and I noticed one of the people who cleaned the church. I didn't want to startle him. And so I said, hey, just want you to know we're here. And she turned around, she said, I'm just the cleaning person. And I thought, and I stopped her. I said, no, you're not. I said, do you know how valuable you are that when we get to come in on Sunday and the church smells nice and the church is clean? I said, I don't want you ever to think that when you come here, you're not important. She's super important, but she didn't see herself as important. How many times do you not see yourself as important and you compare yourself to somebody else who's faster, smarter, skinnier, whatever, you know, just name it. God doesn't want you to think bad of yourself. At the same time, He doesn't want you to think poorly of others. People matter to God. He died for everybody. Doesn't mean that we have to agree with sin, but there's a big difference between sin and people who are sinners. I promise you, you'll have better relationships if you understand humility. When you're a humble person, it's much easier for you to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Hey, let me back up on that a minute. Gosh, that didn't come out right. Boy, I wish I could take that back. I didn't really mean it. You see, humility reduces stress when we rely upon God. Humility actually changes the way we respond, not only to ourselves, but to other people. Humility does another thing, and this relates to what James wrote. James is a half-brother of Jesus, and he writes these words, God gives strength to the humble, but he sets himself against the proud. Humility actually releases God's power in your life. How cool is that? God, I need you. God, I need you. I humble myself before you. I need you. And God says, I will give my strength to you. But when we're proud, when we're arrogant, when we're no longer receiving instruction, when we've kind of been there, done that, and we know everything there is to know, and we're no longer reachable, we're no longer teachable, the scripture says that God's opposed to you and me. God's opposed to us. No wonder we're stressed out. This isn't a secret, but it almost is. You can receive spiritual strength in spite of life's circumstances if you humble yourself before God and allow Him to give you strength. Let me wrap things up this morning. I wrote this down as my kind of, I call it, so what? Like, so what? This is what I want you to know. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. And God is waiting to pour His power out on you. But we need to humble ourselves and ask. When you walk before the Lord and say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And when we say apart from Him, as the scripture says, that we can do nothing, that's an attitude that will take you the distance. Let me ask you this question as we wrap things up. Do you consider yourself poor in spirit? What would be an attitude this next week that you need to depend more on God? Are you just stressed out? I mean, life is just coming at you every single direction. And I like what you said today. We're going to have trouble. But our trouble is not bigger than God. Our troubles sometimes, and a lot of times, are bigger than us. I mean, they just are. And it seems like life isn't getting less stressful. It's more stressful. And that's not like, oh, woe is us. It's like, oh, now I don't have to rely on all of me. I can tap into the power of God Almighty. But what area in your life do you think you need to practice humility this week? Is it reducing stress? Is it improving your relationships? Is it actually saying, I'm going to relinquish control of the universe and humble myself before God so I can receive power? Here's my last sentence. You and I both need God's power in our lives. And when it comes to humbling ourselves, rightly so, we can say, God, would you help? I want to pray with you, and I'm just thrilled about 8 statements that Jesus makes. Out of all the statements, He starts His first preaching tour, and He says, here's how to be happy. Let's realize where you are, and let's realize where I am. And if you tap into me, like seriously, let go of your stress, better your relationships, knowing you don't have to have it all together all the time for Him to lift you up, that will make a difference. Let's pray together. God, thank you. I mean, what? Jesus, you have provided something that so many people have everything the world could offer, and they're not happy. So many people, even us, at times take on more than we should, emotionally, mentally, and we're stressed out. God, very practically, would you help us? Would you help us to respond to you quicker this week when we're in a panic mode? Would you help us to pause and to pray so it would help reduce our panic? God, would you build in us humility to the point that we think highly of ourselves, but we also think highly of those around us in whatever capacity? Would you humble us to the point that we're able to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? God, would you, in Jesus' name, show us where we're being proud and arrogant and that you would actually resist that? And help us to square our shoulders and stand strong in your name and say, God, I want to be humble because I need your strength. I can't do this on my own. So I'm going to pause, and if you say, hey, Pastor Jim, one of those things, I'm praying right now with you. I want to pray for you, and many times I have you look up at me. Why? Because it's an acknowledgement that you need more of God, and it's also a way that as God reminds me this week, I specifically pray for you. So if you say, Pastor Jim, one of these things, I want more happiness in my life, and I think one of these aspects of humility, I want God to help me with. Would you look up at me and say, Pastor Jim, pray for me? Okay. Man, I love you at Hope Church. Truth is, I'm looking up at you too. There's things I'm looking here, I think I could have a little bit of stress reduced if I wouldn't panic and I would pray immediately. Yeah. All right, man, I appreciate y'all. Father, the best way we can, humbly come to you. Confess our sins of taking it all on. You said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us. And that's what we need. We need more of you. Whether we've been a believer for a day or have followed you a lifetime, more of you, less of us, and then we'll have less stress. So we come to you now and we lift up to you that thing is that's going through our mind and pray that you would help us, that you would hold us, God, that you would heal us, that you would bring happiness into our lives again. Maybe the external circumstances aren't going to change, but we absolutely can change the way we view them. And we need your strength to do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Hope you have a great day.